24th. Welcome to the Sportscast, December 19th, 2018. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. I appreciate it very much. Today was National Recruiting Day. A few surprises, a few flips, and a few teams winning the recruiting class. And to discuss about all this is Ty Turner. Welcome to the Sportscast.
What up, bro?
So, Ty, what were your thoughts about today's big national signing day? For you, it's like the equivalent to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm a huge recruiting guy. I have been since 15 and 16, I was like kind of peripheral, and then I just became like all in, and I just follow recruiting. It's like a hobby for me. I actually got offered a job to help with it, to be honest with you. I didn't take it for right now. I might in the future, I don't know. But yeah, I'm just a huge recruiting. I love high school, college football recruiting, and it's fun, and it's fun to see all the puzzles get put together or puzzles fall apart. And you know, I have my team, the Oregon Ducks, and I've followed them, and I've had some great memories, and I've had some bad ones, and this year was good, very good for Oregon. So, yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah. Let me read you what I got. The biggest recruit today was Nolan Smith going to Georgia. He chose Georgia over Alabama. Were you surprised over that?
Well, first off, I'll touch on a little bit of everyone, but I would like to probably focus most on Oregon, just because that's the recruits who I invested obviously probably the most in, because they're my team. But yeah, I'll touch on a few. Nolan Smith, no, he was supposed to pick Georgia. He had confirmed his commitment for a while to Georgia.
Oregon got Kayvon Thibodeau, if that's how you say it. He actually decided pretty early, right?
He decided Saturday.
Saturday, exactly. Like, he didn't wait till today. Yep. He decided on Saturday. What will Kayvon bring to Oregon?
The reason why he decided Saturday was his birthday, and it was actually a smart decision by him because, think about it, when you sign on signing day, like a lot of the other top guys did, you kind of have to share the spotlight with a ton of different guys, you know. You had Trey Sanders, you had N'Kobe Dean, you had Evan Neal, you had, tons of guys that, you know, did their commitment today. And the thing is when you do that, you're going to share the spotlight with 7, 8, 9 other guys. But when you're, like he did it on Saturday, he was the only guy. He announced his commitment at halftime of the bowl game. And, it was kind of a cool situation because he was kind of took Kayvon Thibodeau. He was the number one rated recruit by ESPN. He's the number two rated recruit by the 247 composite. And, it was a heck of a battle, and it was pretty much between, in the end, Oregon and Alabama, and Oregon won. And so every time you can win a recruiting battle against the team that's been the it has top class this year and has been the recruiting power horse for the last, Alabama, if they win the recruiting title this year, which I think they will, that'll be, 6 out of 7 years of the number one recruiting class in the country. So it was a huge victory by Oregon. And Oregon currently has the number 5 class in the nation. Oregon is the highest class in the Pac-12. Oregon has the highest class outside of the SEC, just for the record. The SEC has the 4 highest classes so far in number 1 Alabama, number 2 Georgia, number 3 Texas A&M, number 4 LSU. So the highest non-SEC class is Oregon at number 5, and the highest class in the Pac-12. And definitely the highest class west of Mississippi.
Yeah, there was actually an article at 24/7 Sports, one of my favorite websites, that Pac-12 is winning in the recruiting class.
You mean Oregon's winning?
Oregon, yeah. But the Pac-12 overall is doing well.
Um, uh, I mean, outside of Oregon, I don't think, look at the rankings, I don't know if they have another top 15 team. Look up the rankings right now. As of today, I don't believe there's another top 15 team. Oh, wait. Washington 15.
Yeah, Washington did sign someone.
So you have Washington 15, you have Stanford 18, and you have USC 21. So you have four Pac-12 schools in the top 25, and you have one in the top, let's just say top 10 for the purpose of this, and you have one in the top 15. Another one in the top 20 and another one in the top 25. I do believe USC, and it tells you how, like, USC outside of Bama, maybe no one actually. When USC is really rolling, if USC can win on the field, USC can win the recruiting title almost every year.
Yeah.
When they had Pete Carroll there, USC was number one because of the recruiting hotbed. And they're still the favorites for 2 5-stars, receivers Brew McCoy out of Mater Dei and Kyle Ford out of Orange. And if they land them, I think USC will land for sure in the top 15, maybe even top 10. And that's despite having a 5-7 season and not even making a bowl game. So that tells you what a recruiting power horse they are. But I think it's going to be almost impossible for them to beat Oregon. I think Oregon will win the Pac-12 recruiting title, which is huge. I think that is the first non-USC team to win the Pac-12 title in probably close to a decade. So a huge victory by Oregon in the Pac-12.
And Herbert comes back.
Yeah, not only that. I mean, you just look at what Oregon has done over the last 3 years, despite the coaching changes, despite not really the results on the field. You know, they had a top 20 class at number 19 in 2017, then a top 15 class at number 13 in 2018, and then this year they have a top 5. Who knows if they drop a couple if another team jumps them, but they're going to at least have a top 10 class this year. So they're bringing in, arguably outside of USC, the best talent in the Pac-12, along with their possibly returning almost everyone. So there's going to be, I mean, they're a team that is unquestionably on the rise just because they are going to have more talent than everyone else to play with. And it's been fun to see Coach Cristobal really just rock it out in the recruiting trail.
Yeah, Kayvon Cristobal said about Mario Cristobal. He said Mario Cristobal.
Kayvon Thibodeau.
Yeah. Kayvon Thibodeau said about Cristobal, Cristobal is a great guy. On my home visit, he really touched down. My mom loved him. Thibodeau said as he announced his decision, I can take over on defense. You can be the best man, the biggest man. That's my goal. Do you think he'll be that guy for the defense?
You mean next year?
Yeah, next year.
I really wonder what they're going to do. There's a lot of different things that could be going on with the defense in general. There is some rumors because Jim Leavitt, the defensive coordinator, was up for a lot of jobs. It was rumored that he wasn't on very good terms because he didn't get the head coaching job. Because remember, Willie Taggart left. Willie Taggart left after 1 year, and they ended up promoting Mario Cristobal, the offensive coordinator, to head coach. It was actually kind of between Cristobal and Leavitt. Leavitt stayed on as defensive coordinator, got signed to a $1.7 million contract, which is he's the third highest paid defensive coordinator in college football. But there was rumors that he just wasn't very happy, he wasn't good for the head coach, and it caused a little bit of problems. This is some rumblings, I don't know what's true. But he hasn't been very present in recruiting, he hasn't been seen in a lot of pictures, he hasn't been mentioned a lot. Some wonder if he actually leaves. There's some wondering if actually Leavitt leaves. If he does, I kind of wonder what defense. Oregon has been playing, since Leavitt got there, a 3-4 base, and then they play a lot of nickel and dime packages. But the talent that they brought in this year and some of the guys they have coming back, you wonder if they maybe change it a little bit more, maybe more of an even front. Even front meaning is running four guys in line of scrimmage, so like more of like a 4-3, possibly a 4-2-5, depending on what team they play. And I especially think a guy like Thibodeau, who's kind of a defensive end, I think that's basically what he's best suited at. He's about 6'4", 240. you know, he's gonna get bigger. He's gonna get stronger when he comes to college through the strength and conditioning program. I think he's gonna be a guy who probably plays at 6'4", 245, 250. I could see him playing possibly defensive end. And they also have another guy who had to sit out this year. He was a former top 100 guy, a 4-star guy, DJ Johnson, who actually went to Miami out of high school. He's from Sacramento. He went to Miami but transferred after a year, and then he transferred to Oregon. Well, he had to sit out last year due to the transfer rules, but he's another guy that's about 6'5", 255. So you have a couple of these real freaky athlete, fast, long guys. Seems like you'd want them to probably maybe play at the line of scrimmage. So I wonder if you play them there, and then you have a couple good interior guys. And Jordan Scott, who's been a 2-year starter. He was an honorable mention all-conference guy. And Austin Falau, who's another 2-year starter. I wonder if that's the line you start with, playing those two guys in the middle and then playing the two real good athletes on the outside. I just wonder what they're going to do. But Kayvon's going to play. Yeah, he's going to – not only is he going to play next year, there's – I don't think anyone currently on the defense as talented as him. I mean, he's a guy that, if he lives up to his potential, is a future first-round draft pick. So he'll be playing next year. And I'd argue that T.J. Johnson's a future first-round draft pick. So you have a couple edge guys that are future first-round draft picks. They're going to play. They're going to play a lot. It just depends on how you're going to play them.
According to 247 Sports, here are the rankings for the recruiting class of 2019. First comes Alabama, then Georgia, Texas A&M, LSU, Oregon at 5th, Clemson at 6th, Michigan at 7th, Oklahoma at 8th, Texas at 9th, Penn State at 10th, and USC, they ranked them number 21. Do you agree with these rankings?
Well, the rankings, do you know how they come up with those rankings, correct?
I don't. I'm asking you.
Oh, okay. How they come up with rankings is you get entered, you get your, so they rank every place. It's the composite ranking is three different recruiting sites. It's Rivals.com, ESPN, and 247.com. You rank a player from, 1 to 100. Number one gets the most quality points. And so that counts as the most points. How they exactly do the math, it's actually a scientific system. You'd have to look it up online. They show how the math. But it ranks each player a certain amount of quality points. So the reason you get higher ranking is because you get players with higher quality points because they're a 5-star. They give you so many quality points. Or, there's the higher 5-stars and they descend down. Like, you have like a Kayvon Thibodeau is number 2. He's going to be the second highest amount of points you can get for any player in the country. Okay. Then let's say you get a number 28 5-star. He's still a 5-star. He's going to give you a lot of quality points. He just won't give you as much as like a Kayvon Thibodeau. And then you have your 4-stars. And then you have like the high 4-stars, like a guy like Chris Steele, who we're in the running for, where it's actually us in Florida. He's like a really high 4. He's going to give you like the highest amount of points for a 4-star. So that's how it gets rated. Right. So if you wonder, how does Alabama win? They basically fill their rosters with 5 and 4-stars.
Right.
Those are guys that are projected to be future first-round draft picks. Like if you're a 5-star, you basically have the talent to be a future first-round draft pick. Now, is it a perfect science? No.
It's not.
There's possibly a 3-star guy like Justin Herbert. He was a 3-star guy coming out of high school.
Justin Herbert.
And look what happened to him. He's going to be a future first-round draft pick. So they do miss. But for the most part, it is pretty accurate.
They're pretty accurate, yeah.
And if you look at the team talent composite, which I've sent you before, which usually adds all of your players together, which they take from the recruiting rankings, pretty much the playoff teams, there's never since they've done the team talent composite, which combines all like the player rankings of all the players on your roster, they have never been a team that's outside the top 25 talent wise that even made the college football playoff. There's only been 2 that weren't in the top 20.
Wow.
And then I think of the 20 teams that have made the college football playoffs in the 5 years, I think there's only been like 5 or 6 that were outside the top 10. And other than Oregon the first year, there has not been a team that's played for the national title outside of the top 10.
Wow.
So if you don't think that recruiting matters, rankings matter, do matter.
It's a lot of behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I said, it's a puzzle. It takes
years.
A rat race. It's whatever, and you're trying to flip guys and you're battling for the best players in the country, and it comes down to the very bitter end. I mean, Oregon lost a couple guys that they had in the bag. There's a couple guys, even today, Jeremiah Crudell was a former Oregon commit. He was then decommitted, and we were favored to get him back, but Oklahoma actually beat us in the end. So it's tough. It's tough business, and you just got to recruit people from day one to the day they sign on a dotted line.
You think head coaches get involved? Like, you know, they visit these players, or you think a lot of them don't, and they just call them at least?
Oh, they do. No. Well, of course they call them. No, head coaches. Do I think head coaches are involved?
Yeah.
Head coaches, like, are the ones that pretty much seal the deal.
Wow.
Pretty much your top target, the head coach goes in for a home visit on the final day. The final visit. You bring the head coach. He's only allowed one home visit per player. And remember, they bring all these guys on official visits. Well, maybe you don't. I'm saying you remember. Maybe you don't know. They bring these guys on official visits. It's like a 3-day visit. They pay for it. And the school pays for it. You show them the school. You show them football team. You show them the facilities. And between the visits and then the one home visit for the head coach, now the assistant coaches, like the position coaches, the coordinators, they can visit as many times as possible. They visit the kids in school. They visit kids at camps. And that's not to count all the unofficial visits that players take on their own dime to go see schools. It's incredible. But I will say that Oregon staff, as constructed, is considered one of the best recruiting staffs in America. They basically hired Willie Taggart, they hired a bunch of coaches who are known for being really, really good recruiters. And Willie Taggart left, and they didn't leave. They actually stayed with Mario Cristobal. Especially the really top recruiters, they all stayed with Mario Cristobal. And that's why Cristobal's kind of continued. And Florida State actually is not having a great class. For having a crappy year, they're having a fine class, but they're teetering on falling outside the top 15. And they actually didn't have a lot of even their commitments signed. I think they only signed maybe 2/3 of their commitments. And so there's still guys that are out there that maybe could be coached away. If you're committed, that means you say, I'm committed to Florida State, or I'm committed to Oregon, or I'm committed to Alabama.
You can't fight it after that.
Jack squat. Oh, yeah, you can flip. Yeah. And you see guys, yeah. So just because someone's committed, and believe me, I've been following this for 4 or 5 years, and there are some guys that I had committed to my team that never will play for them.
Wow, they don't actually commit.
It's crazy. Yeah, I mean, they said they're committed until someone gave them a better offer. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. I mean, maybe, especially if you, like, if you're committed to a school, like, school loses the head coach, mm-hmm. or school loses, like, a key, like, coordinator, an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, or someone, you're going to have guys decommit. It's just going to happen, because why would the kid didn't commit to that staff?
Like, for example,
then you have,
like, Daxton Hill. He flipped from Alabama to Michigan.
Well, actually, he was committed to Michigan for a long time. Then he flipped to Alabama, and then he flipped back to Michigan.
Wow.
Yep. I think part of the reason was they actually had another safety guy that flipped to Alabama, and I think he then was like, well, if you're going to flip that guy, then I'm going to go back to Michigan. That's what happened.
Yeah. Let me read you the other signings, like the big signings today. Well, commitments. This is not signing. Derek Stingley to LSU. If you have any thoughts.
No, he signed. No, he signed.
Oh, he signed. Okay.
Derek Stingley signed.
Okay. Yeah. Good signing?
Oh, yeah. He's one of the best. He's the best corner in the nation. He's great.
Okay. And I'll read the next. Zach Harrison to Ohio State.
Yep, he signed.
Good?
Yeah, well, all these guys signed today, by the way. Yeah, okay. Most of these guys that committed today signed.
Like, what I'll do is I'll read each player, and you'll just say your opinion. What do you think about that? Is that good or bad? Well, I mean, probably.
Yeah, I'll give as much as I know about the player.
Okay. Zach Harrison to Ohio State.
Yep. Him, Thibodeau, and Nolan Smith are the three best edge rushers in the country. So, all good players.
Trey Sanders to Alabama.
Best running back in the nation. He made some pretty arduous claims today about winning Heisman. We'll see how he goes. There's some pretty good running backs at Alabama. He'll play maybe a little bit. He'll win Heisman.
And like, I'm still waiting on Jaden Hasselwood, Brew McCoy, Ishmael Sofer, and Darnell Wright. I don't think they've committed yet.
No. I think they're all committing in the late signing period. Okay. I can give you who I think they're going to go to. I think, I believe Brew McCoy goes to USC. It's pretty, it'd be a shock if he didn't go to USC. Ishmael Sofer, it's an Alabama versus LSU battle. LSU didn't help itself any because they signed Siki Ika, a high four-star. Actually, they were competing against Oregon, so that was someone that Oregon missed on. And they signed him, and he plays the same position as Ishmael Sofer. Sofer actually did official to Oregon this week, but I think he goes to Alabama. And then who's the other one? Darnell Wright.
Yeah.
I think he's supposed to go to Tennessee. The fact that he didn't commit or sign today,
something's up.
I just wonder if someone else comes in. Tennessee is still, they had a pretty good class. They only signed pretty good people. But I wonder if someone else comes in. You have to wonder about an Ohio State or something for him. And then who's the other one that's not signed? Hasselwood, I believe, is going to commit at the U.S. Army game. He was a one-time Georgia commit. Then he was supposed to go to Miami, and then out of the blue, Oklahoma has gained a lot of steam. I think Oklahoma, which means they signed two five-stars and a top-star top 100 wide receiver. So they're off it, along with the five-star quarterback. I think they have the only five-star quarterback in this class. So basically, Oklahoma will continue to be very good on offense.
Now on defense.
Defensively? I don't think any of their top seven commits. Well, I think the only guy that was one of their top seven commits that was on defense was Jeremiah Crudell, who was the one-time Oregon commit, who we thought we were going to get back. And honestly, I think the kid's a little overrated. I think the kid is, he's much, and he probably will play right away at Oklahoma, and I think he might struggle. He's slightly overrated. So,
yeah. Tua Tagovailoa's brother signed with Alabama.
Yeah, well, you know what, though? I don't like what happened there because they signed Paul Tyson, who I think actually is Bear Bryant's, like, grandkid. Tagovailoa. What's his name?
His brother's name is Talia.
His name
is
what?
Talia Tagovailoa.
I mean, they both aren't going to play. They're both, they signed two quarterbacks, and I don't know why kids do that. I would, if I were one of them. But Bear Bryant's kid's not going to go somewhere else, and I guess Tagovailoa, he lives in Tuscaloosa, and his brother plays there. But I think he would have been smart. He would have gone somewhere. You're not going to play two running quarterbacks. You're not going to play two quarterbacks. So you're looking at someone's going to transfer. I just don't know why kids do that. That happens so often where two kids that are like high four or five stars go to the same school. It's like, if I was a kid, I'd be like, it's not like I don't want to compete. I'd be like, man, you know what? Maybe another team needs me more. Why do they have another guy committed? Why are they signing another guy? I don't know. But I think one of those are going to leave. I think that's kind of a wash. But I think Alabama hangs on to the number one class, especially if they get Ishmael Sofer, which I'm predicting. I just don't think anyone can catch him. The only team that could catch them is if somehow that Hasselwood kid goes to Georgia and Sofer goes to LSU and Georgia is able to get like that guy and maybe someone else, then maybe Georgia can catch him. It is pretty amazing what Kirby Smart's doing on the trail. He won. He had the number one class last year. He has the number two class this year, and that's why, if you wonder why Georgia competes good with Alabama, should have beaten them in the national title game, should have beaten them in the SEC title game. We're ahead by a lot in both games. But the reason why they compete with them is because they have the talent. I mean, Georgia has just ridiculous amounts of talent on the roster. So as long as they keep on bringing in that talent, I expect Georgia to be able to compete with Alabama.
From the comments, what they're asking, what are your thoughts about Justin Fields from Georgia leaving?
Yeah, I mean, another thing, you know, you're going to just Jake Fromm's a highly regarded four-star that led them to the national title game as a true freshman. I mean, Jacob Eason had to transfer, and he was a former five-star. I kind of wonder why Fields picked them. Yeah, I was really wondering why Fields picked them, but he did. And he obviously didn't like the amount he was going to play. I don't think he was going to replace Fromm. Fromm is just a good quarterback. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He's a proficient quarterback. And I mean, what is he as a starter? I don't have his numbers right in front of me, but I think he's like 12, 13, 13-2. I think he's like 24-4 as a starter. I mean, I think he's going to... Yeah, he was going to play next year, and Fields didn't like that, and he decided he was going to go somewhere else. And I think there is some options out there, obviously, for him. People want him. I think the team that's the favorite is, and what I'm hearing, the favorite is Ohio State. And Ohio State lost their quarterback. So Ohio State actually didn't sign a quarterback. So if Fields goes in there, he will more than likely, I don't know if he gets a waiver, he might have to sit a year. But then I think he'd be competing against, like, a Tate Martell, who's probably going to be a starter next year. And I think Fields is better than him, significantly better. And the only other one that might have a roster opening is Florida State. And Florida State lost their quarterback also. He last second flipped to North Carolina. So I would look at Florida State or Ohio State, and I think Ohio State wins. Because Florida State... they're not in a great spot. I think Willie Taggart loses that job in a year or two. It's just that you can tell when the momentum of a program's not going in the right direction, and it's just really not. So
also from the comments, do you think the comment says Ohio State quarterback recruit flipped to Georgia today.
Yeah, DeJuan Mathis. Yeah, I just mentioned that in passing.
DeJuan
Mathis flipped. He was a longtime Michigan State commit. You want to hear a funny story? Guess where he initially was going to flip to?
Let me guess, Oregon.
Yep. He was going to flip to Oregon. Oregon didn't want him. They wanted Cale Millen. Cale Millen is only a three-star. He might get bumped up to a four-star here, but he's really good. He's a guy with a lot of upside. His dad was Hugh Millen. I don't know if you remember him. He was a all-quarterback. Oregon's bitter. So wanted him, and they turned down DeJuan. So then DeJuan Mathis flipped to Ohio State. And out of the blue, that's not recruiting director for 27 Sports. And you know what? Mathis is thinking about flipping to Georgia. And so he's going to. Ohio State, and he picked Georgia. So he literally flipped last second to Georgia. So a solid pick. I think he's great. I don't think this is a great quarterback class. Honestly, you don't have a lot of gamers. A guy like Cale, a three-star. A guy like, who's another quarterback that could possibly come out of nowhere? I don't know. There's a lot. Probably the best quarterback coming in is probably going to be five-star Spencer Rattler, and he goes to Oklahoma. And obviously, Lincoln Riley knows how to play quarterbacks pretty good. I mean, he won a Heisman with Baker, won a Heisman with Kyler. So I would expect a pretty good career out of Spencer Rattler. But this is not a great quarterback class. It's going to be better next year.
Just like the NFL.
With like DJ Ugo, Yeah, DJ Galadale out of California, St. John Bosco Prep. He's a superstar. And you got a couple other guys, like Butterfield, a kid out of California. There's a couple others I'm missing right now. But next year's class is better for quarterbacks. Last year's class with Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields and JT Daniels was a better class. This year, just not a strong quarterback class. So it was a good pickup by Georgia. They needed a quarterback because they lost Fields. So, you know, he's going to be playing on a talented team at Georgia. So he'll be fine. He's a four-star, and it's a decent last-second pickup. I don't think he's anything like wow. I don't think he's as good as Jake Fromm.
Also,
I don't think he has the upside of a Jake Fromm or a Justin Fields.
Also, from the comments, did Miami's Mark Rip did not do a good recruiting this year?
No, horrible. I believe, I'm not looking at the numbers, but aren't they in the 30s?
Wow. I got to double check on
that. And he didn't have a great year. He had a good year last year. I think he was top 10 last year. I think his first couple classes were pretty good. I think he was top 10 last year. You'd have to look at the numbers. I think he was like top 20 the year before. And I think those were his first two classes. So he maybe gets a little leeway, but if you don't get the talent, you're not going to win. You're not going to beat Clemson. The ACC in general didn't do great. I think the ACC has Florida State hanging in there if they can hang in. They had Clemson. Clemson obviously had another amazing recruiting class. So don't expect Clemson to release a stranglehold on the ACC anytime soon. They're just not only the best coach team, they also get by far the most talent. They're always hitting on the quarterback position. So expect Clemson to continue to dominate, and also expect Oklahoma to continue to dominate the Big 12. But watch out for Texas. Texas had a top five class last year. They have a top 10 class this year. Texas is going to give Oklahoma some problems. Like, you just look at the rankings. You got Clemson, who's a class of itself right now. Florida State is still the second most talented in probably the ACC, but they're kind of losing momentum right now. In the Big 12, it's definitely Oklahoma and Texas. No one else is really competing with them on the recruiting trail, and that's pretty much why Oklahoma's won four straight titles. But look for Texas to continue to compete with them. In the Big 10, it is Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State. Penn State had a top 10 class last year. They had a top 10 class this year. They still might sign a couple more guys. Who knows? They have an outside shot at top five. Michigan with a top 10 class. Michigan had a class outside the top 20 last year, so a little bit of a struggle last year. Ohio State has had top five classes every year except for this year, and I think a lot of that boils down to Urban Meyer leaving. But they're still going to finish with a top 15 class. I think they eventually will end up not getting a couple other guys. Look for Darnell Wright, the five-star, to possibly land there. I think they finish with a top 10. Look for Ohio State and Penn State and Michigan to really continue to dominate the Big Ten because they're just getting a lot more talent. And then the Pac-12, that's my conference, you had Oregon, and you know they had the third best class in 2017 despite the coaching change. They had the second best class and the top 15 class last year, and this year they have a top five class currently and by far the number one class. Look for Oregon, if they can continue to recruit at this level, look for the Pac-12 title to go through Oregon. They still are battling Washington, but Washington, you know, they had a top 20 class last year. They had a top 25 the year before. They're a borderline top 15 this year. But if they're, you know, finishing top 20, if Oregon continues to be top 15, top 10, I think Oregon is going to have the talent. They're going to be the more talented team entering the field. You still have a great coaching staff with Chris Peterson as a head coach and Jimmy Lake as a defensive coordinator. So Washington's going to be deal with. And USC is just USC. They get the talent. They had a top five class last year. They had a top five class the year before. They're outside the top 20 now, but I think they're going to end up getting the top 15 class. They have the talent, but they're just – Clay Helton just could not seem to put it together. You just never know with USC. Talent-wise, they can compete, but on the field, expect it. I would say if you're going to give a preliminary indication, SEC, it's going to continue to be Alabama. It's going to continue to be Georgia. LSU, Florida, and A&M are going to be kind of the outside teams. Big Ten is going to be Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State. Big 12 is going to be Oklahoma and Texas. And ACC is Clemson. And Florida State is the talent, but they just do not have a good coaching situation right now. And then the Pac-12 is going to be Oregon, Washington, and Stanford still is sitting around there. And then you have USC if they can get their crap together.
Also from the comments, did you think that Texas A&M did well today?
Oh, Texas A&M is awesome. Yeah, number three class. They are still in the running. They flipped Derek Hunter, a four-star. They actually flipped Elijah Blades on Saturday, four-star committed to Oregon at cornerback, the number one JUCO corner. There is some rumors. Maybe I shouldn't say it. Okay, anyway. He might have not left Oregon on his own volition. There could be some grade concerns. Let's just say he signed in Nebraska out of high school. He had to go to JUCO because he did not pass academically. There's supposedly still some issues going on. So will he play at Texas A&M? We don't know. He's super good. I mean, this kid's a freaking talent. 6'2", 185, can run a 4.3, super explosive. He has to do his classwork to be able to play college football. But A&M, yeah. You got some terrific guys at the defensive backfield. I'm not looking at their class for right in front of me, but they had a class mostly with four stars. They signed a full boatload too. I believe they had 26 commits. I'm driving, so I'm not looking at their class, but a very good class by Jimbo Fisher. And A&M is, they're on the rise. I mean, they're a team that, if they landed a top five this year. He came in, got the job in 2 months, landed a top 20 class last year. Let's see if he can put together like another top five, top 10 class next year. If he does, look for Texas A&M to be a dark horse in that West division, with like an LSU. Look for them to be a dark horse to compete against, to maybe be able to upset an Alabama. It's just hard when Alabama every year is pulling in number one classes. It's just hard to beat a team that gets that much talent, and you have a coach like Nick Saban, and just he has a machine going. It's just tough. It's just so hard.
Yeah, it is.
Because the SEC recruits great. I mean, all of the SEC recruits good. They have more top 25 teams. I'm not looking at the recruiting rankings right now, but I would guess they have 10 teams in the top 25. Is that accurate? You can go through the top 25, and I bet you money 10 of those teams are SEC.
Yeah.
But when you're having to compete against Alabama, and then if Alabama loses, you have to compete against Georgia. And then if Georgia loses, you got to compete against LSU. And now A&M, it just makes it so hard to win despite having talent on your team. You could be a Florida who's going to probably have a top 15 class this year, had a top 15 class last year, probably had a top 15 class the year before, probably has, top 15 talent on their team. But when they're having to compete against Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Texas A&M, it's tough to win.
It is.
I'd rather be Oregon.
Oregon is the odd duck.
All I have to compete
in the top 25.
Yeah, all they have to compete. They have to compete with USC, who is a dumpster fire right now, and their head coach can't seem to win with talent. And then Washington, who's not getting as much talent. And then Stanford, who, because of academics, is not getting as much talent. So Oregon just has to beat them. Now, will it be tough for Oregon to win the national title? Yeah. They have to play Alabama. They have to play Georgia. It'll be tough. They have to play Clemson. It'll be tough to win Natties, but to get to the playoff, they give themselves a chance. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you're same with, like, I would rather be Oklahoma. I'd rather be Clemson. I would rather be Oregon. I would rather be Texas, because you're just having to compete only against one or two teams that can, or even getting close to the talent you are in the field. if you're Florida, you're getting great talent, but you're having to compete against Alabama, Georgia, Texas A&M, and LSU. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So the Big 12 and the Big Ten, I would say probably is not as talented as SEC, but the Big Ten is in their own right is getting, you know, they're going to have three top 10 teams in the recruiting rankings. They're probably going to have, I think, five in the top 25. So the Big Ten actually gets a decent amount of talent, especially at like the line positions, and so the Big Ten is considerably hard to win in and of its own self too. Because, you know, Penn State ends up knocking off Ohio State ends up knocking off Michigan. So, Penn State, the Big Ten is probably the second toughest conference to win outside of the SEC.
Yeah, each conference has their own obstacle, but
for sure. Yeah.
And SEC, like you were saying, you know, they're top heavy. I think especially
the SEC. Well, not just top heavy. I mean, you could go 10 deep that are fairly talented teams.
Wow.
That's the thing. If I was going to rank the conferences that the most talent, especially, I'm going to say SEC first. I'm going to say Big Ten second. And it's really close between the other three. Really close. I'd say Clemson probably has the most, but then, you know, the outside of them, only Florida State really is having a good year, especially this year. And in the Big 12, it's pretty much only Texas and Oklahoma. And then the Pac-12 is probably a little actually better this year. They're probably going to have four teams in the top 25. It still as a whole, they only have a couple teams that really have even close to the talent that the other conferences have. I mean, like the SEC or Big Ten.
If you had to name one team that won today, that had a good day, which team would that be?
Today or one, the recruiting in general?
Recruiting in general, so far.
I mean, I might be a little biased, but when you're coming off of an 8-4 year, you're on your third head coach in three seasons, and you have a top five class, I think a lot of people would kind of agree that that's a pretty impressive feat by Coach Mario Cristobal in Oregon. And to be the highest rated team outside of an SEC school in recruiting rankings, I would say that's, yeah. If you're going to say, that's your team, you're going to, fine. I would say Texas A&M. They have the number three wow. class. They landed a bunch of big time players and give themselves a chance to compete in the SEC. So I would say Oregon and Texas A&M are the two teams that maybe have not had the success on the field that matches the results that they had on the recruiting trail today.
You think Alabama did not have a good recruiting year, or they had a so-so recruiting year?
Are you really asking me that question?
I mean, I'm asking. I mean, they got what some players.
What is Alabama's ranking right now?
Well, number one.
The recruiting ranking.
Number one. But, I mean, could they have gotten some players they really wanted, or do you think those players that flipped on them or changed their mind weren't that good enough? Or
I mean, no. Your initial question was, do I think Alabama had a good recruiting year?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you think my answer is?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
What do you mean you don't know? They're number one.
Okay. I guess we'll just leave it there.
That's like a rhetorical. Is that a rhetorical question? Or are you seriously asking?
Well, I mean, you were commenting some stuff before, like on the chat, that they had lost some players. You were surprised.
I'm talking smack.
Yeah, I know you were talking smack, but I just want to reiterate.
I'm not being serious. No, dude, they have the number one ranked class in the country.
I know.
I think their whole commitments outside of a kicker is four stars and five. It is. They have 22 four stars, three five stars. They basically, I think their whole roster is made up, their whole commitments is made up of top 250 guys except for like one guy.
Yeah. I mean, they have a lot of four stars.
Yeah.
Okay, it's okay. We'll leave it there.
You're literally asking me.
Hey, this is the sports cast. I like to go into twists and turns a little bit.
The twist and turn. There's no twist and turn. They're the number one class in the country. It's unbelievable. Nice, yeah, right. I mean, their class is absolutely unbelievable. Yeah.
Well anyways, another news. Mr. Devin Bush will miss the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl because he will enter the NFL draft. Yeah, from Michigan.
Oh wow, didn't know that.
So
Devin Bush is out. There's a lot of guys out.
Yeah.
My gosh,
which is quite common.
So Michigan is playing without Devin Bush and Rashawn Gary.
That's correct.
Oh wow. And they play Georgia, correct? Oh, no, Texas plays Georgia.
Yeah.
Who's Michigan
playing? Well,
Florida?
He says he has a hip injury.
Who?
Bush.
Oh, he does? Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's your two best defensive players. So that's huge. If I were to pick right now, missing your two best defensive players and on a team that basically relies on their defense, their offense is still very inconsistent. I went from probably picking Michigan that I think Florida will win. As long as Florida doesn't have guys sitting out.
I don't know. I have to check out who is going to be sitting out.
It's crazy. It's crazy. When it's not a playoff, it tends to be a lot of the guys sit out. I think that's why maybe they need to add. You know, they're talking about adding, expanding the playoff to 8 games. And I'm thinking just because even that alone, like, guys are sitting out if it's not for a national championship. And so it obviously is going to lose some viewership, and it's going to affect some things. So I think they'd make more money, the NCAA, and they're all about making money, at least they should be, by adding an extra. I think they should expand to 8.
And a reminder.
I think it's going to, like, lead.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Go ahead. Yeah.
No, go ahead. You're finishing a good thought.
Well, no, I just think that, like, you know, you had Ohio State on the outside looking in, you had Georgia on the outside looking in. UCF is probably not a playoff team, but they still were undefeated. I mean, those three teams could be in the playoff, and then you bring in, like, a Washington, who won the Pac-12, would probably get in there.
I prefer six teams.
I prefer 8.
Okay.
I prefer 8.
Just have a little wild card round.
Six is a little weird. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's a little
strange. Just how you do
it. I prefer 8. I prefer 8, and I just say, you know, and then you play, like, either they play in the 4 bowl games, and then you have the semifinal and the final, or you do, like, a quarterfinal, and then the semifinal of the bowl game, and then you have a final. I don't know. You figure it out. But I think 8, I think it also will keep guys from all going pro that aren't playing in those games. Because it is kind of ruining the other bowl games. Because when you, like, for instance, I would probably pick Michigan over Florida. I think they're maybe just a little better this year. But if you're saying that your two best players, Devin Bush and Rashawn Gary, are not playing, those are two, it's kind of hard to replace those guys.
From the comments, they say expanding to 8 teams will lose ticket sales from each school.
What the person has to explain, what are they talking about?
Most fans can't afford going to 3 games.
Based on what?
I mean, that's very relative. I guess he's saying students don't have enough money.
Yeah, that's subjective. Does the person have data for this? It can't possibly, because there hasn't been 8 teams. and then if you expand it to 6 teams, there's still going to be 4 teams that possibly
play 3 games.
Have to play for 3 games. Who said that comment?
One called Loves Dogs. He's a UGA dog fan, and another one called Torgo Gill.
I thought it might have been one of my buddies.
No.
So I don't know this person. Well, that person, that doesn't make any sense what they're saying.
Well, based on money, because most of these tickets are over $100.
I know, but, like, the guy said not going to be able to afford 3 games. Is he saying then don't expand it from 4?
Yeah.
I mean, what's he saying?
He's saying...
Because expanding it to 6, don't expand from 4?
Yeah, from 4 to 8, because it would be too expensive. You know, if a person wants to go to all the bowl games, which I don't
so
think...
He, so, he, So he doesn't think they should go to six either. He just says no expansion total.
Correct. That's pretty much what he's saying.
Okay, I mean, I see what he's coming from. He doesn't have any data to prove that. And it doesn't matter. I'm sure you're going to have plenty of people go to those games.
Yeah, a lot of these fans are not all students. There are some alumni going.
Yeah.
There's fans that never went to that school.
It's not all students. Yeah, there's people that don't even probably fan of either team that just want to see the national title game. Remember, this year it's in Santa Clara. One year it was in Dallas. Another year it was in Tempe. It's going to be in big metropolitan areas. How about the TV viewership? You're going to get way more TV viewership. More people watching on TV. It's going to add more revenue that way. Clicks online. I mean, they're going to be fine financially by adding an extra game.
He says, I'm supposed to afford going to California, then Texas, and then wherever else.
Okay, buddy. You're speaking subjectively for yourself.
Yeah.
Fine.
There's plenty of rich.
Are you the only person that lives in this world? Holy crap! People can only see something. Probably a guy, because men tend to think they're the only one that lives in the world. I mean, get sexist with that. But
it's okay. This is a conservative sportscast.
But I'm actually going after men here, meaning like there's more people in the world than you. And maybe you can't afford three different places, but they'll do just fine.
Exactly.
I'm sure they're going to have plenty of people to fill the stadiums. They're going to get plenty of viewership online, on TV. They're going to get plenty of clicks online. I mean, if I think the NCAA is going to be hurt by expanding, I can do it not. The only thing that I could see them being problematic is it going to stretch out the season too long? Is it going to possibly conflict with the NFL playoffs? Is 8 overkill? Stuff like that. But financially, I don't see it being a bad move.
I mean, and there's one person that goes to one game, he probably skips the semifinals, goes to the championship, or they just go to the championship. It's very subjective.
Very subjective, and you're going to have plenty of people that will fill the stands of every game. It's
not
going to be like, we're here for the national quarterfinal. There's not a soul in the seats. I guarantee you they're not going to have trouble filling all the stadiums. Now, do I think one fan's going to be able to afford going to three different games? No, probably not.
Oh. But
who is?
There's plenty of Alabama fans everywhere, in every state, I bet. And they'll go, if the game's nearby, they'll go.
Yeah, there's plenty of Alabama fans, there's plenty of Georgia fans, you have plenty of USC fans, you have plenty of Oregon fans. Really, you have to care about those Oregon fans. They're going to be making that playoff for the next 2 years.
The comments, they're asking, can you afford all three games?
No, I can't. I wouldn't even go to one. I wouldn't even go to one. I'm not gonna pay. I don't even like going to a game, to be honest with you. I am not a big fan of going to, especially football games. You can't see as well. I just don't like it. I would prefer to watch it on TV. My preference.
I would love to go
would I maybe at some point try to go to a game? Yeah, I want to make it out to Alton.
I'd love to see a Michigan-Ohio State game. Either at the Horseshoe or at...
Michigan, Ohio State, it could be to watch it. And I think more than anything, another reason why they might want expansion is... Alabama has made the playoff every single year. Clemson has made the playoff every year but one. Oklahoma has made playoff three out of the five. The thing is that... Four, and especially when you see Clemson, Oklahoma, and Alabama dominating the recruiting rankings, do we really just want to watch the same four teams? That is another thing that plays into maybe adding more. Because adding more, you're going to have more teams get in for the first time. Maybe an UCF sneaks in there. See what I'm saying? You might have like a, Washington sneak in there. You're going to get more teams instead of Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, Oklahoma, Clemson, pretty much being the predominant teams every single year because they're the teams that have the best coaches, teams that have to get the best recruits. And if you add eight teams, you're probably going to get a couple teams in there that have not made the college football playoff yet. Correct?
Correct.
I mean, you have a higher likelihood than when you're keeping it to four because it's just making it tough. You have Notre Dame. Congratulations. Notre Dame's going to get their ass kicked for the first time in the college football playoff. So that's awesome. But for the most part, it's like Clemson, Oklahoma, and Alabama again.
Well, anyways.
Last year was Clemson. So, I mean, like, you're literally bringing back three of the teams from last year. And a lot of people thought Georgia should make it. So,
yeah. I think the expansion will happen. It feels like ESPN is really advertising on that. It was like, oh, what if this happened and Alabama faced this team?
Yeah, you're right. ESPN and The Athletic and a lot of sports.
Yeah, you know, there's money behind it. It's going to happen in a few years. But anyways, we've run out of time. And we're going straight to predictions. Are you ready?
I did. Yeah, sure.
Let's go to a bowl game. The only one that I thought was good enough to pick out is Western Michigan versus BYU.
I guess I'll go BYU.
The Ravens at the Chargers.
Oh, Chargers. Chargers playing very well. Ravens aren't playing bad either, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Chargers.
Lamar Jackson. Bengals.
Chargers might win the Super Bowl.
They could. Or the Saints.
Yeah.
Bengals at the Browns.
Battle of the Toilet Bowl. I'll go Browns, I guess.
That's the Ohio Bowl. The Bills at the Patriots.
Man, I tell you what, the Patriots aren't playing that well right now. Brady's starting to look a little old.
That's what everyone's saying.
He looks 41. Their offense doesn't look that good in general. Gronkowski looks old too. I think the Patriots win. I don't think Patriots are going to go to the Super Bowl though. I'd be shocked if they make the Super Bowl this year.
I think they could squeak it in. The Packers at the Jets.
Who are they going to beat? Who are the Patriots going to beat?
I don't know. I mean, they can beat Kansas City.
I don't think they beat. At Kansas City?
I think they can.
No.
I think they're capable.
I don't think they beat the Chargers at San Diego. I don't know if they beat the Steelers. They just lost the Steelers.
Yeah.
I don't know if they beat Houston.
Houston's looking good.
I don't know.
I mean, they haven't won outside of home field advantage. They have not won the Super Bowl except the first one, but they've only won the Super Bowl if they got home field advantage.
Yeah, they're not going to get home field advantage. They're going to have to play every single week.
No
with an old team. They're going to have to play on the road twice. Yeah, I don't know. No, I don't think they – I think they lose the second round.
Packers at the Jets.
I mean, who cares?
That's right. They're both out.
I think maybe – yeah, I don't know. Who cares? Packers, man. Packers.
Jaguars.
That's a good
game. Jaguars at the Dolphins.
Why are you asking me all these crappy games? Okay, are these the best games this week?
Well, Miami still has a chance.
Oh, my goodness.
There's a lot of teams eliminated. I just realized it. Well, Miami still have a playoff shot, but they have to have some luck.
They do? Yeah, they everyone lose. And...
Okay, let me read some.
I guess Dolphins.
Steelers at the Saints.
Okay, there you go.
That's a good game.
I think the Saints, Steelers aren't playing bad, though. They're not playing great offensively, but they're playing pretty well defensively. But I think the Saints.
Steelers at – no, the Chiefs at the Seahawks.
Oh, that's a good game.
Very good game.
You know, Seahawks are tough to play at home. Seahawks are always tough to play at home. I think the Seahawks win. And Chiefs have been a little inconsistent. They lost that game to San Diego, and they had it won. I think Seahawks win it.
Seahawks win. And random question: if you could only have one kitchen appliance, what would it be?
A knife.
A what?
A knife.
Oh, a knife. Okay. Wow, that's a good answer. I was thinking microwaves.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I forgot about that. You're right.
And like one last comment from the comments. If the bottom line guys saw a decline in seat revenue due to expansion, they would make adjustments.
Okay. Decline in revenue. Is that the same guy or is that a different guy?
No, this is actually this actually is Riley.
Riley. I mean, yeah, so he's saying that they'd make adjustments in order to make it still financially beneficial, correct?
Yeah, correct. That's what he meant.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that's another thing. You might get more fans in the crowd. I mean, you're probably going to get plenty of fans even. It doesn't really matter. I just do not see the argument that it's a bad financial move. I mean, that's just weird.
Do you think they will probably cut the regular season a little bit or they'll leave the same?
I think they, this is me just going off complete hypothesis. I have no data to back up or no actually investigative evidence to back up anything that I'm going to say. I think the season's the same. You play, you know, the only thing maybe, okay, take that back. I think that the season will start a week earlier. I think they play the same amount of games. I just think the season will start a week earlier. So then you will have the, maybe the championship games on Thanksgiving weekend. And then the season will be done earlier. And then, like, 2 weeks later, maybe the 15th or the 22nd, maybe right before Christmas, you'll have the quarterfinal. And then I think you keep the bowl games as is, and I think that's the semifinal. And then you play the championship just like it is now. That's one scenario. The other scenario is the bowl games. You have the four, you know, the near six, four of them will play the quarterfinal. And then you'll have a week later, but you have the games maybe like right in between, like not on Christmas, not on New Year's, but like on the 27th. And then like a week, like 3-4 days after New Year's, you have the quarterfinal, a semifinal, and then like the 11th, you have the final. Those are the couple different options I have. I don't know. I know they probably don't want to spread it too late into the season because of recruiting and a lot of other things. But remember now they also have early signing day. So I don't know if that could also affect.
Yeah, there'd be some shifting
not
in the
having
scheduling.
The quarterfinal. Yeah. Yeah, the quarterfinals earlier. So if I actually had to guess, I would say maybe have the New Year's Six bowls like on the 27th of December, and then you have like semifinals on like the 4th of January, and then you have like the finals 11th. So it just extends the season by maybe 4 or 5 days. That's my guess.
Well, anyways. How can people talk to you about the expansion or debate you about it on the internet?
Tyler Turner, MPLF.
Anyways, follow us, subscribe, hit the notification. It's been fun. Great debate. Great interaction. Recruitment day, expansion. Next week we'll have some bowl previews for the college football playoffs. And Tyler,
yep.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, dog.